So for those who have read the Torah portion, is it feeling like Passover to you? Right? I mean, it's what we're reading. Well, not really. But we're reading there in that portion about the Passover this week and next week. We're getting close to Passover, actually. It's coming around. You know, I feel like Ad and I could just kind of jumble them around a little. Couldn't this be just in a couple of weeks so that it lines up? But that was not Adonai's way. In fact, there are many times that his ways are not our ways, and that we don't even always know why he's doing something until later on, looking back at it. We don't see the same picture with the same vantage point that he has. His horizon is different than our horizon. We see up to here. He sees way out there for eternity. We think this would be better. He says, no, here's what's better. We don't see the same picture. That's why we trust and rely on him and not our own wisdom or what we think of as wisdom. His ways are over our ways, and we don't even understand the idea that he has most of the time. Never mind his plan. Moses thought the point of going back to Egypt was to get the people out of Egypt just as quickly as he could to stop their suffering. Adonai was not just thinking about that, but was thinking and planning many levels above Moses' head. There are times that Adonai cannot even tell us the full plan because we just aren't ready to hear or act on that full plan. Passover is a perfect example of this, although not the only example. Moses was told of a plan to get the Jewish people out of Egypt by Adonai. And his first reaction in trying this failed. We read in Acts 7 this, when Stephen was telling the history of Israel to the crowd that was about to stone him, we got this piece of history, this mindset of what Moses was thinking about the first time he tried to get the Israelites out of Egypt and failed. Let's see if my little clicker is going to work today. Hey, there we go. Acts 7:23. When he was approaching 40 years of age, that's Moses, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, Bnei Israel. When he saw one of them being treated unjustly, he went to the defense of the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He was assuming that his brothers understood that by his hand, God was delivering them, but they did not understand. Reading the Brit Hadashah can bring clarity to the Tanakh. Just as reading the Tanakh can bring clarity to the Brit Hadashah. We see that it was not that Adonai failed, but it was Moses that failed. Why did Moses assume the people would understand that he was going to deliver them from the hands of the Egyptians? Because he already knew it would be, because of the word of Adonai had given him. But the full plan was not yet given to him, and he acted before the time was right. He did not wait for the rest of the word that Adonai was going to give him, the timing that Adonai was going to give him. And it cost him 40 years in the wilderness, being away from friends and family. Moses did not understand what Adonai understood. The Passover had to happen, but Moses did not wait for the full plan to be given to him, and he was not ready to hear the full plan. So we could ask, did Moses wreck the plan of Adonai, or did he fulfill the plan of Adonai? Perhaps both at the same time. We don't know what would have happened if he had waited, but we do know what did actually happen. It all happened as it did so that we would see and remember what happened. There was so much that happened within the Passover story, which actually starts with Moses' birth. Not just the him seeing of the burning bush. Perhaps he and the people then, and maybe even the people now, do not understand because we did not and perhaps still do not see the full picture. There are so many questions that could be answered by men looking back afterwards and not at the time, not during that time that things were happening. We learn from history more than we learn from living out our current lives. There were many things that they must have assumed were going wrong that Adonai used for the right during the Passover. Think about these steps of the Passover that people may have thought were going wrong. Moses did not understand that he needed to wait for the right time. Moses and later the people of Israel didn't understand Adonai's use of someone who ran away at first as Moses did. The people, and perhaps Moses as well, must have thought that with each plague, this one would surely set us free. I believe they did not understand that Passover was not just about the blood on the doorposts. They didn't understand the significance of the blood, which was and is about the salvation of Adonai for all people, Jew and Gentile, by Yeshua's blood. When they were trapped between the river in front of them and the army of Egypt behind them, most of them thought, Adonai, you failed, not knowing the full plan that Adonai had. As they roamed the desert, they lacked food and water. They did not see that it was that Adonai was doing. But Adonai wanted them to eventually realize their own humility and the needed reliance that they needed to have on him. He was looking at the teaching of the people and the world and the leading of them all the time. Because of their very long time in Egypt, he needed to teach them who he was all over again. Each of these steps that Adonai took during the Passover was towards the same goal. We are told what that was in Exodus 9, when he said this through Moses to Pharaoh in Egypt. And we heard this in our drash today from Michael. Exodus 9:15. Surely by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. However, I have let you stand for a reason, to show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout all the earth. Yet still, you exalt yourself over my people by not letting them go. The reason for the plagues is given almost right in the middle of the plagues. He said this after the sixth plague. And he said it to Pharaoh, and he said it to the people of his courts, and he says it to us as well. And maybe even to Israel then. But I question if Moses or the people of Israel knew this at the start or even understood it as it was happening to them. We know Pharaoh did not understand it. And he never did, right up until the time that the waters closed in on him. We know because we're told that Adonai's ways are over our ways. Over our ways of knowledge, over our ways of understanding. We should know this by now, by this stage in our human development. But we don't always. Perhaps the best known place in Scripture that we're told this is Isaiah 55, starting in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. It is a declaration of Adonai. For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His ways and thoughts are so much higher than man's. This is repeated in Scripture a few times. Let's look at just two short pieces of Scripture about his ways. In Job, Zophar the Naamanite rightly said this, Job 11:7. Can you discover the mysteries of God? Can you find the limits of Shaddai? They are higher than the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Its measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. The mysteries and the limits of God are unknowable. They extend past the understanding of the human mind. Supporting this idea of the expanse of Adonai's power, wisdom, and glory is Psalm 139. Psalm 139, 6 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. His ways, his knowledge, his power, his glory, he is too wonderful for us to rise up to equal. And I would say then it's too high even for us to try to equal. Those building the Tower of Babel found this out the hard way. It's just one example. They tried to become, or at least tried to rise up to him. And he scrambled their speech and cause them to be scattered across the earth. Satan wants to be his equal, but never will be. Let me be clear about something. His ways are above our ways, not because he would stop us from achieving the heights, but because he knows that it would not be good for us to achieve the heights that people think they want to get to. I know that if it was for our good, if it was for our good to achieve that height or achieve that status, he not only would support it, he would cause it. But I also know that he knows what is best and acts in a way that is best for us. Some of the greatest men of the Tanakh did not understand the workings of Adonai as they were going through what they went through. Think of Abraham when he was told to bring promised child Isaac to the sacrifice. We get to see what he was thinking in the chapter of faith, Hebrews 11, starting in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Yes, he had received the promise. The promises was offering up this one and only son. The one about whom it was said, through Isaac offspring shall be named for you. He reasoned that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. And in a sense, he did receive him back from there. Abraham had no clue what was going on when he got the instructions from Adonai. Other than, God told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. His thoughts are told to us by the writer of Hebrews. And his thought was, this promise, even if this promised child dies, God will raise him up from the dead. We kind of do see that later on, don't we, though? He knew somehow that Adonai would do the right thing, but he didn't understand how. Still, by faith, he did what he was told to do. It was not the way he would have done it, but it was the way that Adonai was doing it. Joseph is another example of not understanding what was happening while it was happening. Throughout his life, Joseph had things that happened to him that knocked him down over and over again. When he was in prison and he interpreted the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker, he said this to the cupbearer, Genesis 40:14. But if you remember me that I was with you, when it goes well with you, please show me kindness and mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For I was forcibly kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I've done nothing at all that should put me in this pit. Joseph, in his own words, says that he was kidnapped and then put into the pit, that's Pharaoh's jail, for no reason. He does not understand, or he did not understand, the causes or the reasons yet. When raised up by Pharaoh to the second in the land, then he understood, looking back, oh, this is why it all had to happen. But until then, no clue why he was going through what he had to go through. Now, don't think that because of our lowly status, that we don't know. Some may say, if only we were one of Messiah's original disciples, then we'd understand the workings of Messiah. Then we'd understand the workings of Adonai. No, that's just not true. Each of us can achieve the same level as the disciples. But that does not mean that each of us aren't limited in our understanding of God. Just as they were limited, so are we. Think about this. The disciples did not understand why Yeshua was going to Jerusalem that last time. They thought he was going to teach again. Yeshua had other plans. Plans that he did not share right away, but eventually he did, and they still didn't understand, or they still were not willing to accept. When he told the disciples he must die, it was Peter who spoke up. Mark 8:31. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and ruling Kohanim and Torah scholars and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. The disciples must have sounded like, hey, wait a second. That's not a good idea. He was speaking openly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. Now, the heading on in that passage in the Tree of Life is revealing the mission. Revealing the mission. And you would think that once they knew the mission, especially since they got it directly from Yeshua, they would be all yes and amen. Go for it. If it has to be, it has to be. But Yeshua was not thinking hallelujah. Peter spoke up after Yeshua responded. I'd say Yeshua, but Peter was not thinking hallelujah. Peter spoke up, and after Yeshua responded to him, he must have thought, hey, I'm just trying to save you for more salvation, and you're calling me Satan? Peter was thinking that saving Yeshua was the right way to save more of the world because they would hear more about him. They would see more miracles. He thought that his way was the way for salvation for the world. Keep Yeshua going. Yeshua knew better because he knew the full plan. In Shaul's time and in our time now, the plan looks like foolishness to those who don't accept it. Still looks like foolishness for those who don't understand the ways of Messiah today. This is how Shaul put it about this time when still standing, and it still stands in our time. He said this in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the intelligent. Where is the wise one? Where is the Torah scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made foolish the wisdom of the world? The wise men of the time did not understand that it was what was happening had to happen to Messiah. And many people today still don't understand that full plan that God has. They have a way that they think is right. But Zashul said, but as Shaul says, that scripture tells us, Adonai will destroy the wisdom of the wise of the world, and their wisdom will bring them to nothing. When the world tries to seek out the wisdom required for salvation on their own, they will be made the foolish. We see it today as well in the world and in some parts of the church world. They say, this is the way, although it doesn't match up with all of Scripture. But that's okay because they've dismissed parts of Scripture that it doesn't match up with in their minds. They disposed of the Tanakh. They disposed of Israel because it's not matching the wisdom that they think that they have. The scripture that they don't want to accept have become foolishness to them, but life to the world. The Tanakh cannot be for them, so they say it expired. That Adonai changed his mind about what he wrote back then. What they're saying is that his way, God's way, are not their ways, so they will not listen to the scripture but do what they want based on a partial reading of scriptures, forgetting the full meaning that all scripture was given to us as profitable for teaching and correction. They say, yes, it's true, but for the teaching correction that we want, not what Adonai is actually teaching and correcting by. They admit that his ways are not their ways, but they would rather take their own way anyway. They do not see the path that they are on as the one that is wide and leading to destruction. They are misreading the signposts that Scripture is meant to be. There are signs within the Tanakh to show us the way through the Brit Hadashah, but they do not read them properly. They are deceived not only by their own words, but by what they believe they see. Seeing what they believe is proof of what they believe. They will go to Adonai in those final days. And the conversation that they're going to have with Adonai is already written on paper. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and perform many miracles in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. At least he didn't say, get behind me, Satan. Same thing. They say they prophesied and they drove out demons and they performed miracles. And you know what? Yeshua never said, no, you didn't. He never said that. Then why is he saying that he doesn't know them? It is because of the why they were doing the things. It's not just that they did the things, but the heart attitude behind them as they were doing them is important to Adonai. They may have known about God, but did they actually have a relationship with God personally? They were able to do because of the Ruach, but that does not mean that they had the full measure of the Ruach. The glory of Adonai will be seen, and the mercy of Adonai will be seen, even if the one doing it are not doing it only for God's glory. May not even be doing it the right way. But by the mercies of God, he still allows things to happen. You may ask, then what's the right way? It is not invoking the name of Yeshua and demanding that things get done the way that it's supposed to be. Things may get done out of the mercy of Adonai, but that does not mean that you or they are aligned with Adonai. They may not have the things of Adonai as their things, or the ways of Adonai as their ways, at least not all of the ways and all of his desires. Adonai's desire is to see all men saved through the blood of Yeshua. There are those ministries today that say that they are there to save who they are there to save only. And maybe they don't even say it out loud, but it's the truth of their ministries. And I'm not saying that having a focus on one people's is wrong, but don't lose sight of all the other people to the point of forgetting them. Or even pushing them away from Adonai, God forbid. Ever hear someone say something like, save the Jews and let the Gentiles alone? Or how about, save the Gentiles and leave the Jews alone? Which is worse? The truth is they're equally bad in the eyes of Adonai. There are so many that will say, We think that Adonai has a plan for us, and this is what it is. But Adonai says that maybe it's part of the plan, or even just the outcome may turn out to be the same, but not the reason that he's doing it within their lives. Adonai wants us to do all that he says, not part of what he says, as long as it gets the final end the same. The ends does not justify the means. Adonai is very interested in the means, the ways that we do it, that they're his ways that we do it. Gideon gathered an army of 32,000 men to go into battle, but Adonai whittled it down to 300 so that it would be his glory seen through the victory. Naaman was told to go dip in the Jordan River, but he thought the rivers back home were better. He needed to learn differently. It didn't matter which was better. It was which Adonai had said to do that was most important. There will always be a way that looks better, because Satan is really great at polishing up that turd. He can make anything look good. He knows how to tempt. He knows how to fool. And he even knows how to downright lie so that other ways look better than Adonai's ways. Our job is to examine the way before us, not to judge where it came from, because you can easily be fooled about where it came from. So how do you know which is the right way? Examine the way to make sure it lines up with all of Scripture. Then you'll know who it came from. That's our job. Examine the path with all your heart, and then once you know it's Adonai, do it with all your strength. What we need to ask for, to beg for, to see the path and what it is. Examine the path to know if it's the narrow path that leads to Adonai, or is it the wide path that leads away from him. Father, we thank you for your word that shows us the path, that teaches us to judge the path. We do not judge you, but we do want to examine and look at what it is you place before us, or Satan places before us, and know by the comparison to Scripture to know whether it's right. Ruach, we do not desire to do what is right in our own eyes, but only what is right in your eyes. So put your word in our heart, put your word in our minds, put your Ruach upon us, so that we may follow hard after you. And everyone said, amen and amen.